This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, April 15th, 2010.
Well, that was even dollar amount.
Okay, and now I'm going to
what's going on?
Okay.
Oh, no, no. The SA reps can please take their seats, and you can call for the show.
I don't think it's even. We'll just look at it. Because it may not have had to, by the wording, it may not have to be an even whole dollar amount. That's just what they verbally told us.
Okay. Go ahead, Kalisha.
Okay, while the clerk is getting the roll set up, we're going to go ahead and go to approval of the minutes.
Approved. Motion call for affirmation. Call for affirmation.
All right. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes for April 8th have been approved. Now we'll move on. Are you ready? All right, go ahead.
Excuse.
You can here. Just go by last name.
Here.
Here.
What?
Unexcused.
Okay. Who?
No. Do you have
probably not a new list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Excuse.
Here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse.
Yep.
Unexcused.
Here.
Here. Excuse. That's it's not Phillips and Emily.
It's Moreno.
He's here.
Excuse. Okay. Are we good, please? All right. Now moving on to open microphone. If any member of the audience wishes to address the SA on an item that is currently not on the agenda, please step forward. And please introduce yourself.
Administration
thanks, Stan Michael. I'd also like to commend the City Assembly reps on their hilarity. If anyone has picked up a copy of The Sun, we were quoted anonymously on the overheard section, as well as an anonymous column in a day in the life of an essay rep. So well done showing people that we have a sense of humor. Also, regarding office hours, you might have noticed that our sign in Live Cafe was removed. That's because the director of Olin Uris Library said that we weren't allowed to post anything on the columns. But as a compromise, they will allow us to have our sign straddling under the table like we have here. So that will be for the rest of the semester. And now we'll move on to a charter review announcement by Parliamentarian Cohen.
So I know it's been long in the coming, but this coming weekend or potentially Monday, there's going to be, depending on the vote on R71, a meeting for an ad hoc charter review committee so that by next SA meeting we'll have an entirely new charter that rectifies a lot of structural issues, I suppose, and then basically makes it a lot easier to comprehend, read, and utilize in future years. So if you're a rep or a liaison and interested in being part of that, then speak to me and we'll set it up.
Cool. Appropriations Committee announcement will be few days.
All right, so the Appropriations Committee voted yesterday to fund $200 of special projects money for the Phoenix Society, which is the group that builds the Phoenix for Dragon Day. The committee voted 10-3 to fund Phoenix Society $200 for some of their construction materials that aren't eligible for SAC funding. So that's a decision that has to be approved by the SA before it goes into effect. Are there any questions or motions? Second?
Second.
Any dissent? All right, thanks.
We have a focus group on bridges update by Lindsay Kumar.
So about a week or two ago, Dean Hubble emailed Rami and myself to ask for volunteers to sit on a focus group that will look sort of at the feasibility of long-term solutions to the problems that the fence have been trying to deal with, as well as, you know, how to go about addressing the issue in the short term. So Rami and I submitted a list of about 20 names from across the campus, including those who had been active on Facebook groups and things like that. But if you're interested in this issue specifically, please let me know and we can pass your name along.
This is the update I wanted to give last week when I was here for the GPSA. It's important to get to talk about it at the GPSA meeting last Monday. If you're interested, they're actually looking into stuff. It's not just like students sitting in a room talking about ideas that are never going to happen. It's important to attend some of these meetings. There's a lot of administrators there. Tim Marshall is there as well. And not only is, they're actually talking about the free design. So if you know either engineers or architects, I know that's what they were targeting on the graduate side. So if you're either interested or you know someone that has specific ideas for any of the bridges, then you can go.
We have a Big Red Bike update by Jackie Chen. Can you please introduce yourself and your father?
The others want to come up as well.
Oh, and if anyone else wants to come up as well, you can pull up chairs.
We were
Anything? Okay. First on speakers with you, DP Andrews.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the update. So I'm really excited to see, you know, big red bike happen. So do you have any time frames on when the program they start doing purchases and, you know, when the bike racks are put in and all that stuff? Is that a really time frame for that?
We hope to get to do the
Yeah, thanks for coming. I hope next year's essay sort of keeps an open line of communication with you folks as you guys expand. I was wondering, obviously a lot of the models you guys have used sort of depends on the cooperation of library staff. So I was wondering how that's worked out and like if you see any problems on that end. Yeah, I was just wondering like how your interaction with the library staff has been so far and like if you're getting all the resources you need from them. Because I think you interact with them, right?
Yeah, that would be great if you can send those along. Okay, thanks for coming, guys. We have a dining committee update by VP Latov.
Hi, guys. Real quickly, just let you know our last dining committee meeting is at Hughes Dining Hall at 4:30 on this coming Tuesday. So if you have not been to one yet, please come to them. A lot of food and, you know, hopefully good dining discussion. It's right behind the law school. They're running around the side by the gorge, Castillo Gorge. In the residence, part of the residence hall there. All right, and then one more thing about dining. So I know a couple people have been started talking to me about this, including Vice President Basil. For commencement, Cornell Dining has a few dining events that they plan. So for seniors that are looking, you know, to take their parents somewhere, and you're struggling finding a reservation, because I know I made reservations 2 years ago for some places, you should look into the dining options that Cornell Dining has. There's a great dinner I know that they do. I believe it's at RPU or Appel, but it's on North Campus. So, you know, definitely check those out. Those are all on the commencement website. Any questions? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Oh.
So, Earth Day is coming up on the 22nd. We have a table on the whole plaza for the NSA Environmental Committee. And we're also we're gonna be purchasing water bottles that have the same like aluminum water bottles that have they'll say student assembly, either just student assembly or student assembly environmental. So come to the plaza and buy one. They're gonna be like only $2.
That's great. And if you can send us sign ups for anyone who wants to man the table.
I think we are going to be able to cover it.
Oh, okay, good.
But if you guys want to help out, that'd be great. I'll send something around.
Awesome. We have an AAP update by Representative Smith.
Three things. One, I think I put in an email a couple of weeks ago about the Candy Symposium that is a big exhibit that was done in commemoration of one of the an architect that is going to be raised to know more about it that was put on by the minority organization of AAP people. And also included in that was an exhibit of the work that they did while they were in India, and that happened last weekend. So I guess some of you and others did a great job. Next, one of the chair of the art department, Jolene Rickard, got received a fellowship, so she will be stepping down as chair. And at Iftikhar, Professor Iftikhar, is now stepping in as the new interim chair. In addition, probably the most significant thing is after meeting with the dean and the dean's student council, we have implemented. I've been talking about the Hanan Library for quite a long time, and now the university library has decided that either something needs to be done or the collection in the Finance Library will be taken away from the college. So, after an intense study that was done in lots of different funding, a plan that is effective immediately, starting now, is that the Finance Library will be stripped out of Sibley and will be put into Rand Paul. Rand Paul will now be the new location for the Finance Library. Starting this summer, Rand Paul will be gutted. The first starting the first one will be ready. If you'd like to see the complete plan, I actually have one of the paper copies here. They're going to circulate, so this is it. And it actually has a phase in it and how it goes.
What?
Now, it's also going to help work with the interdepartmental communication because Sibley will now be, once Milstein Hall is completed, it will connect Sibley Rand and Milstein on the second floor. And so that will then be under the dome. We're now doing like central socialization, including more studio spaces for the new design plan. So theater fixtures, CRP majors, art majors, and also architects.
Pretty big news. I represent the science.
Does that mean anyone can now walk in and swipe in the ramp?
Actually, product has not been granted to the whole college. Somehow, we didn't have access either. But just recently, we just got product. So I'm pretty sure the product will actually still be there anymore. They might strip it off because it will be a library now. However, it's still up in the air. So what the union decided to do is since he's moved the architect's offices like 3-4 times within the past 3 years, he's actually going to let them decide the plan of the first floor. That is the only thing that is not set yet in this plan is how they are. So their office is temporarily right now, as of now, about to be built in the final library currently in Sibley. So career services and all that is about to move. So temporarily, our architects are off. So we don't know. I don't know whether the shops and all the technology stuff is currently there, still going to be done there, or if there's going to be somewhere else. So if the technology is still there, we're more than likely to sell products there, which means you probably won't be able to do it. But if they do decide to move that to the second floor, simply under the dome, then more than likely the product will be removed and everybody will be able to access the collection of final library. But right now you can also do it through the annex, and it's like a one-day transfer anyway, so you can.
Okay, one final announcement tonight at 7:30 after the SA meeting in William Keaton House. The first deputy mayor of New York City will be visiting for just a casual conversation, and it will be over appetizers, so if you're interested in New York City politics at all, you're more than welcome to come to that. So now moving on to business of the day, we have Resolution 71, Ad Hoc Charter Review Committee. Sponsored by Parliamentary Cohen and Peter Kumar.
Yeah.
Thank you.
through a meeting that make sure that that is most critical, and then we ensure every active cooperation is as efficient as possible.
Vivian.
Yeah, so what dates do you think you're meeting? Just in mind.
Either this Sunday or this Monday. One of the two days, maybe before or after, whatever looks better.
And should we email you or will you not?
I'll email it all. But if you see our website after the meeting, I can get your email ID, which is your
one. And I'm going to go ahead and move this to. Oh, it is the Sunday. So, yeah, you can't have any motion. There's been a call for acclamation. There's a second. Any dissent? Okay, the ad hoc committee has been formed. Call to question. So, now moving on to unfinished business, we have Resolution 69, the Student Innovation Council of BP Camargo.
Yeah, so, again, you know, as I was just saying last week, I think. You know, we are trying to make sure that our operation is as efficient as possible, trying to, you know, limit excesses. I think this is a great opportunity to ensure that, you know, every IT committee has something important that is contributing and everything. So, again, it's just a few months after we can and there were a few concerns, you know, folks wanted to hear the thoughts of the co-chairs, and I think I didn't see the other thing. I invited both of them to put the schedule here. There's a schedule of comments.
Okay. Any questions, comments, or motions? Yeah, this is unfinished business, yeah, as I see. We can vote on it today. Go ahead, Representative. Call to question? Oh, did you have something?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so you can vote again.
You know, in the conversation, the email conversation that I've had with one of the co-chairs, I think he made it pretty clear that he doesn't this many people within the structure that I think that I just maybe outline my charter is the most is the best way to go forward.
Yeah, actually, I spoke to one of the co-chairs that happened today in Einstall, and
why is your resolution
made the distance from?
Yeah, he does need to be. Okay, so you're going to do it.
Okay. Motion? I'm going to go ahead and call this question.
Yes, go.
And we have to do roll call.
Members present.
And it's two-thirds since it's a charter. Go ahead, finish your call.
Pass.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
I don't vote.
Have a new list.
Would,
I don't have a vote.
By a vote of 13 to 0 to 2. Yeah,
I have
the resolution passed.
Okay. Well, no, 13 to 0 to 3.
13 to 0 to 3 is the final count. The resolution passed. Okay. Now moving on to Resolution 62, which has been changed to read the First Amendment clause. By Mike Wackert, Representative Rao, Vicky LaSella, and Ray Metz. Go ahead. Oh. Sorry? You can go.
Law and this, but I have three conferences here.
Yes.
Last semester, the Yale Harvard football game, Yale freshman Sam Cancer was planning to sell the media using a token of the famous office at the government chair. I think that all Harvard made a decision. Now, while everyone loves this trip, it's pretty controversial and was full of repression from the administration when LGBTQ professed to use the word system. Now, if I was a practice in general, it's probably not even simply a stage player. One of the facts is the idea is trying to start placing an offer for the great classics in the first place. Unfortunately, instruments like these have become far from the course of Yale, Cornell, the Ivy, other private universities, and basically universities in general. Public universities are obligated to uphold the First Amendment, and in 1992, California passed a new law obligated to its private universities to uphold the First Amendment as well. This resolution, long after the new law, will do the exact same thing for Cornell. This resolution only applies to the First Amendment, given its importance to universities. If I tried to add the second limit, it would be entitled to shift down on that one, but not losing the court. Often when a previous controversy occurs, we go with more of what the group says rather than trying to say it. But the question is, should we punish this X discourage us from now? And oh, we can do this as Cornell's private university. The answer is often is yes. But the question is, should we punish X group? And oh, by the way, you have to the first limit problem. Do that. This is what you have to change. Also, barring the existence of time travel, I did not word Article 52 as a response to Article 44. The wording comes directly from California's Internet Law, which was written in 1992, not 2010. Plus, if it's good enough for California, it clearly is good enough for Cornell.
VPD.
Yeah, so, you know, I think from my perspective, the difficulty that we've had all along, at least from where I'm coming from, the ER44 conversation, is, as I'm sure is the issue for many other members, reconciling the difference between freedom of religious expression, freedom of religion, in Chi Alpha, and freedom from discrimination based on sexual orientation. Not freedom from, but one's right to not be discriminated against. So, looking at this resolution and looking at R44, I mean, I'm curious, and I'm sure we'll kind of go through this throughout discussion today, but I really don't see how this in any way conflicts with a strongly worded resolution such as Representative Danzer's that he's considering. I think that what this does, and what I'd really like to see, is the Assembly to pass both this resolution and Representative Danzer's resolution or a similar one. Because again, what we think about it, you know, this campus isn't a campus where we're plagued by constant discrimination. You don't walk around campus and hear racial slurs. You don't, you know, go around and get called out by people for, you know, what you are and who you are in your academic life and your extracurricular life. In my 4 years of experience, Chi Alpha has been the only time in the last 4 years where there's been anything like this. So, you know, to me, what is important when we're looking at these kinds of rules is showing some kind of recognition and some kind of restraint that we're not dealing with an epidemic of discrimination on Cornell's campus. We want to put in good, sensible safeguards so that things like Chi Alpha don't happen in the future, and we're preventing those kinds of things to happen in the future. But we're not going overboard and censuring people that we might not disagree with. So, you know, in my mind, I look at Representative Danzer's resolution, you know, a resolution that says, okay, we have the power of the purse, we're going to take it away if we think that groups are discriminating. But at the same time, we're also making a statement to say, you know, there is constitutional free speech. Republicans can speak, Democrats can speak, really conservative Christians can speak and have the right to say what they believe, and that we embrace all those different kinds of expression. So at the end of the day, I'm curious what people's sort of arguments are against this, and I feel very confident that we'll hear that very shortly. But I sort of challenge everyone, I guess, to look at this and see what parts of that of this resolution they disagree with, to point to a specific line or passage, and really look at this in the context of something ideally that I would hope would go along with Representative Danzer's amendment or resolution. Sorry. Thanks.
Rep. Stevens.
So because I wasn't here last week for the initiation of the debate, I actually have two questions. So with this resolution allows schools to prevent students from joining their organization based on their status as long as they're protected class.
I mean, in terms of like just joining a group, obviously, like just like
could they under this resolution? Because current policy at the university says that it may not disallow an individual from joining and being a member of an organization based on their status as a protected class. So, for example, this organization cannot say, you say in our charter that you cannot join because you are black or Christian or Asian. Would this reverse that and allow you to discriminate based on membership?
No, it's not
First Amendment protected speech.
Isn't the freedom to associate with freedom to disassociate?
But not
the ability to only apply to limited potentially trusting with your ability to estimate the purpose. It's actually a big fact. It's
essentially what happens, like,
Calipari, the ability to be able to say, we're not saying you can't say anything, we just want to remember.
So can an organization under this, it seems that based on speech, an organization can do anything it would like and can dissociate itself from others. So
according to this, if
someone decided that because I'm straight I can't hold the LGBTQ seat, be a member of the student assembly. That's how I'm
using it. I think that would reverse that money.
So first of all, I want to thank Mike Wacker for the sort of the process by which you went about doing, you know, I think this is a led initiative, and the fact that you've been accessible to talk to us about this is great. I guess my initial feeling on this resolution is by itself is not terrible, but I'm concerned about how it, for two things. So first, I'm concerned about the problem it tries to solve, and secondly, I'm concerned about how this will sort of mesh with a whole host of other university policies that are sort of already in effect. So I want to narrow it down and just talk about, so currently the university has this bias-related incident protocol, right? And so I was wondering, you can file a bias-related incident report against a student group, right? So would this impair the ability of the university to impose disciplinary sanctions on a group if, it's considered a bias-related incident?
I think they mentioned that they hate speech doesn't fall under this.
So the bias-related incident protocol doesn't cover just hate speech. Those aren't the only kinds of reports that are made.
Well, there's a clause here specifically says this clause does not prevent the imposition of discipline or harassment, threats, or intimidation unless constitutionally protected.
Are those three, is that derived from the university's current policies about what's covered under, for example, the bias-related incident protocol? Is that like what the university's bias-related incident protocol is designed to prevent? Those three sort of classes? I guess where is this language coming from about harassment, threats, or intimidation?
Like I said before, it comes directly from how long is Leonard law? Where is it coming from?
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm concerned about how this sort of conflicts or would mesh with current university policy, specifically the bias-related incident protocol, whether this would impair, first of all, we already have a problem with students, being sort of unwilling to report incidents, and I'm just concerned if this has a chilling effect in the future.
Representative Brock.
Okay. I want to echo Representative Danzer's comments that I do think this is actually a step back from the policy that was already in place before R44, in that, I could clearly see how this might mean that membership and association will be closed off in certain groups, and this resolution would allow for that to happen. But my other objection is simply logistically, I'm wondering how many people in this room have actually read the contract governing independent student groups in its entirety. Show of hands. Okay. Well, pretty much that document is just a list of the I.O. shall not. And what this is right here is kind of like a preamble in a document that has a really low level of abstraction. And perhaps this would mesh better in, I don't know, the campus code of conduct. I'm not really sure, though, because that also is kind of a regulatory document list of don'ts. So I don't see how this affirmation of freedom of speech, which may be a university principle as described by President Stormy in his response to R. 44. But for that kind of document, I would think that document would be kind of like a separate student bill of rights or a separate type of thing. I don't see how it goes into this contract of the independent student groups. It simply doesn't make sense. So with that, I'd urge you to vote no.
I'll give you 30 seconds, sir.
I mean,
from
all the existing organizations, we both like tell them things they can't control, like how to use the benefits to like conserve groups. That's important stuff. And I mean, like, one thing, like, all this now, how does it affect bias, or how does it affect the discrimination? Well, I mean, this has been the law of the university. It's been the law of California since 1992. Like, look at this scenario, look at examples of bad things that happen in these scenarios. This has been, like, law of the university for a long time. So it's one thing, like, the Jeff has been there, the things that can go wrong if you have this, but, like, this has been law for a long time. Like, try to find an example of this city, like, in your hypothetical.
Okay. Representative Perkins.
So first, I want to say this is a pretty short text here. It's pretty easy to read through and understand. So it's a little confusing when I see a lot of people asking Union Member Wacker how this will impact the student orientation, because he's not going to be the one that's making those decisions, and this text is really what matters. So I think that's what's important. And it quickly says here that it says solely on the basis of conduct of speech or other communication. So this is a very focused resolution that doesn't prevent assembly or membership or anything like that. It says very explicitly that it's limited to speech. So I really like this, but I do agree with Representative Brockman that it's a little weird to say the university shall not make or enforce a rule when this is in the IOI. I think maybe one way to go about this is that we just add this text in rather than saying that the university shall not make or enforce a rule stating that these things, because this is a rule really that we're.
Okay. Just a point of clarification for myself. So when you do say speech or other communication, so is that just limited to speech, or can a group communicate to another student why they cannot be a part of, you know, their group and apply the other First Amendment rights based off of, you know, the communication?
Well,
my question may help explain for the
in some way. What are your motivations for presenting this resolution?
I mean, obviously, like, coming to court, obviously, like, I keep on crossing, like, my own path. And, like, I just believe in my own path. Like, I don't mind that.
So have your freedom of speech been restricted on campus? Has it been restricted on campus?
Well, mine has been sort of directly, but like any.
Has the student assembly ever restricted your freedom of speech on campus?
No,
like,
not
this person.
Or have you witnessed freedom of speech being restricted on campus?
Arguably, like what's going to happen is like the Cornell regime being an example of that, like kind of take home Cornell, like that would stand in court. Like also like with God and like the whole like God and I thing, there like lots of like attempts like to like violate human peace there. Like anytime like there's a ruling like this, there's always like a temptation of like one side to violate human peace. Like obviously like stuff like Jeff Katz like right in his balls. Like he like I joke like he should be glad like he doesn't like write for an organization like me defund by the end. And I'm not that like you guys can do this, but like in the past that they have like tried to defund organizations based on their view.
All right, Ben. That's my time for you.
30 seconds.
Well, I'll just wait for 30 seconds.
Okay. Okay. President.
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to thank you guys for presenting and the social fight is really well put together. You referenced sort of like, you know, this is getting up for California a couple of times, and you kind of drawn the distinction between what they did, what the nation does for public universities versus what we do as a private. So I'd just like to call a couple of things into play. You mentioned a couple of cases, including Healy versus James. First of all, I'd just like to clarify that statement was made, correct me if I'm wrong, in the terminology of a public university, not a private. So I'm just clarifying what you wanted the intention of that word as possibly. Second, calling in a couple other cases. So again, I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. It was, I believe, Whitman versus Vincent, when universities were given the right to regulate content neutral. The issue was whether they could stop a group from having the right to reserve a room, which they said that the university did as long as that regulation was imposed in a content neutral statement. And then in the Board of Regents versus Stoutford, the issue came into play over whether they could stop, you know, groups like the SAFC for funding group, and that came into, they said they were allowed to again if long term, that issue was over whether my student activity money could go to a group that I didn't support, and that was voted to be constitutional as long as the grounds were that the funds were being distributed in a neutral manner across the university. So I guess my issue on that is I feel that whether this neutral viewpoint or something being content neutral to me, I see that as being free from discrimination. That's my own personal perspective on what neutral should be in this context. So while I definitely agree with what your resolution is trying to get across from a First Amendment right point of view, I definitely say I have to agree with Brockman's, not here the one time I agree with this before, when they say that, you know, I definitely see how, I think Scott pointed it out, that it's just kind of short and wording as far as how it can be interpreted, and I wouldn't even want that interpretation to come out. So, you know, sorry?
Go ahead.
Basically, like, I'm completely for voting for a resolution that's going to strengthen the First Amendment rights of students on campus. My only kind of drawback is I don't want to make sure it limits First Amendment rights for other students in a way that I see First Amendment rights being enforced by the past Supreme Court.
Okay. There's no one left on the first speaker's list. Is there anyone who wishes to speak who has not yet spoken? Okay, we'll move on to the second speaker's list. First up is Representative.
I think that Representative Furry's confusion about meaning of speech in this resolution is exactly one of the biggest problems I see with this. Speech in this context does not mean simply talking the way we currently talk. It's not, you know, redundant with word communication. Speech in this context, and correct me if I'm mistaken, is referring to the freedom to associate, the freedom to say what you want, which is not simply the freedom to write a daily gun call or the freedom to talk out loud. It is the freedom to associate. It is more than speech. Community member Wacker actually affirmed that when you asked the question. So I think that the issue here is that this resolution is long enough to change current policy in a way that is regressive and detrimental to the university, but also short enough to engage the student in the way it applies, in a way that is actually confusing these members of the assembly. And I think that we should be clear. If this resolution passes, student assembly could vote me out of this organization because I am straight. They could vote out Representative Smith because he is black. They could vote out Representative, they could vote out President Salem because he is Egyptian. And that is wrong.
Can I motion to remove
they could vote out any member of the student assembly because of their religion. Because of their age.
Yeah.
All because
we get it.
Of this resolution, I think, and that applies to everyone. I think that is the problem. And that is why I urge to vote against the resolution to prevent a regressive policy that brings us back in time.
Thanks, Representative Smith. Well, your first speaker.
I don't think they need time just for
maybe I'm not looking to that extreme. I don't know about that. But I will say on a personal note, well, I'll say it like this.
Speaking to the mic.
Speaking to the mic.
Okay, well, we'll do it like this.
Go ahead.
I think, as whoever said earlier, basically, trying to apply this right now after what we've done in the past, might not be the best idea right about now. I'm not going to say I totally agree with the other resolution that passed. However, it's difficult for me to say that the university shall not be forced to reject a rule that kind of throws me off as well. I'm not totally sure what was trying to get out of what the motivations for this were. And maybe some don't think that it's relevant, but quite frankly, I do. Personally, I don't think it's right to discriminate, blah, 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 wherever you want to go with it. However, I can understand that from the point of view of some people, it is difficult to have somebody leading you who does not agree with the views, the ideology of your group, especially when we're talking about religion. Because, and from the viewpoint of the members, you see this person as leading you astray. And how are you going to lead you astray? How are you going to achieve Nirvana? How are you going to hit the promised land? How are you going to go to heaven? You know, so there's such a big gray area for issues like this. So I can't accept this right now as it is, but I want you to listen to it and what you guys think.
And I do have another point of clarification to make to follow up on your comments. I think I have mentioned this before. Currently in our charter, we do have a recall process where at any time, if 2/3 of the elected SA reps vote for anyone on the exec committee off for whatever reason, it doesn't say that you need to specify a reason. They can do that. You can't remove an elected rep from the student assembly entirely, but you can remove us from leadership positions, which, again, I was hoping that was the route President Scorin would take in his response, but obviously that wasn't the case. But yeah, that's our current process.
Point of information.
Yeah, sure.
If similarly to the biology, I'm sorry, Dean Hubble was asked me to step down from my position because I'm straight. But if you were to do that in a similar fashion to the way I often went down, because of my sexual orientation, that would be perfectly within the rules of this resolution.
No.
Well, I'll let you in.
Why not?
Go ahead. Would that be allowed?
Why not?
Yeah, let the sponsor. He gave a scenario. Do you want to restate your hypothetical situation?
If this resolution passed, then what would be wrong about Dean Hubble or whatever the executive board basically making me step down from my position to something like that?
Freedom of religion is protected.
So I was just starting to talk this through with Nikhil, but I guess I'll start to talk this through in a more public forum. Because let's sort of take things back to the letter of the resolution. I withdrew my motion to remove Matt Danzer from the assembly. You can stay for now. Let's look at the resolution right here on the second page in the therefore resolved clause. Okay. So in the first clause, we set as the rule, the university shall not make or enforce any rule subjecting members of an independent organization to disciplinary sanctions solely on the basis of conduct that is speech or other communication that's protected by the First Amendment. So basically, you know, any student organization can have as their platform, you know, I hate minorities, I hate gays, protected speech. That also implies within that freedom of association based on that speech. In the first paragraph, you can do whatever they want. So let's go down, second paragraph, blah, 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 third paragraph. Okay. Groups can't, within the First Amendment, you're not allowed to say whatever you want. You can't say fire in a building. You also can't harass, threat, or intimidate anyone with that First Amendment right to speech. You can't go up and say to somebody, you know, I'm going to kill you. That's not allowed. That's intent to commit murder. You also can't say, I hate you because you are black, white, Asian, whatever. That's also not protected First Amendment speech. Then in the fourth paragraph, we see that in addition to that deduction from your ability to have free speech, this clause does not prohibit the university from adopting separate rules and regulations that are designed to prevent hate crimes from being directed at students and in a manner that denies them their full participation in the educational process, so long as the rules and regulations conform to standards established by the First Amendment. So basically, again, in that fourth paragraph, this is, again, me thinking it through with all you guys, it seems to me what we've established here is that all the precedents that we formally talked about in the contract for independent student organizations, all the clauses that have been written preventing discrimination based on whatever the original statement right now is, which is, I don't know, the laundry list,
the protected
gender, sexual orientation, all that stuff. None of that is touched because the university is still allowed to adopt these rules and regulations preventing discrimination in those categories. So again, this doesn't detract or take away from a hypothetical Danzer resolution for the power of the purse. It doesn't detract or take away from what we have right now for protected classes in the University Code of Conduct and in the contract for independent organizations. What we've done here, you know, and again, it's very nuanced and it's difficult for me to grasp, but it seems that we've essentially just sort of doubled down and established our personal point of view or our personal values as a community that we do value independent free speech. We value the diversity that we have on campus. That even though we might not agree with it, we value having both Cornell Republicans and Democrats. We value having very conservative Christians and very liberal student groups. And that, you know, within the context of all these groups' ability to practice their religion, freedom of the press, and other kinds of free speech and association together, so long as it doesn't come into conflict with what the university has said as their guidelines for discrimination, all of that speech is permitted. So really, I don't think this is regressive. I don't think this really changes the status quo at all, because again, thinking about it, this is not a discriminatory campus. This isn't us looking out for, okay, how can we get Matt Danzer off his assembly because he's straight and we really want somebody gay on here. This just doesn't happen, and I think all these hypotheticals are just absurd for you to bring up and kind of ridiculous in a context like this, because this is just not a discriminatory campus. I think that, you know, we have this statement of values right here, and I think you know, it's very important that we look at both sides of the issue, which is discrimination and also people's rights to freedom of speech. But, you know, I don't think it's right for us to say, well, what are your motivations for bringing this forward? You know, what were the motivations for bringing R44 forward? We didn't ask those questions then. I don't think we should be asking those questions now. I think we should look at the text we have in front of us and vote on that.
Thanks.
Yeah,
sure.
So, Chris, you said that this wouldn't conflict with a possible power of the first resolution modeled after Brockman's original one that got sent back to Scorton. Why wouldn't that conflict with shall not make or enforce the rules subjecting members of the IO to disciplinary sanctions solely on blah, blah, blah?
Because that's not protected free speech. Discriminatory speech is not protected free speech.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And one final question before I move on.
It's discriminatory within a protected clause.
So I think the main contention here is between the overlap that you mentioned between freedom of speech and freedom of association. So according to this, could IOs use freedom of speech to discriminate?
Yeah.
Basically. IOs in general. Could they use freedom of speech, under the First Amendment clause, and say that also applies to freedom of association and discriminate?
Well, no, but you're not. I think we should definitely have that.
So who does this responsibility fall under to determine whether the elected rep is in line with the group's ideology? Would it be, you know, one person? Would it be the general membership? Would it be the advisors? Who would that responsibility fall under? Representative Purdy.
I just like to address the theme of the word. I looked up the First Amendment, and it makes a pretty clear distinction between the freedom of speech and the freedom of assembly. They're separately the same. So
Assembly isn't explicit, it's a precedent based right. No, association.
It says assembly.
Did I say the other way around? Okay.
I thought that you were worried about the group.
Did you make your point? Yeah. Okay. Representative Brockman.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for coming here. I think that maybe there's potential to work in some of this application and bring some speed into what we're trying to do with the bylaws. Maybe we want to refer to the joint local issues.
What I really want to say information, is that a formal motion?
Not yet.
Okay.
Got it. What I really want to say is that I've heard the hypotheticals are ridiculous. I've heard that this was not in response to our 24, that this is something different, that this is about speech. But I haven't heard why it's an issue. And I haven't heard why it really makes sense to contract on independent student groups. Saying the university shall not make an enforceable rule in the contract on independent student groups. So, you know, those are really important questions that I think need to be answered. You know, why is this such a pressing issue? If we don't feel this campus is very discriminatory, if we don't feel as though people are under attack because of their specific speech, then why bring it to begin with? Why spend an entire assembly in debating whether or not we should add to this certain document an affirmation of the First Amendment, you know, why is it necessary? So if you can answer that question, and if you can answer the question as to why it belongs, the university shall not make or enforce a rule, why that wording belongs to cause from the independent student groups, then maybe we can get a little further. But for now, I'd like to make a motion to table
There's been a motion to table this resolution indefinitely, and there's been a second. We'll go ahead and vote on this motion. Will the clerk please call the roll? To table. Indefinitely.
Yes.
Are we voting to table?
Table indefinitely. Andrew said yes.
Yes.
Say Brock.
Yes.
Did he proxy it?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Did you call? Renewal test.
I vote no.
Mark, can I switch my vote?
To what?
To me.
Yeah. Okay, so the resolution has been tabled indefinitely. Me? No. It's 10 to 5. Excuse me. I won't have to. Okay, now on to. Oh, wait. Nikhil. I'm reduced.
So Resolution 70, extension of voting rights for members of the undergraduate community. So Resolution 70 is actually business of the, unfinished business. It was introduced at the last meeting.
So I will give President Salem 2 minutes and then open up the speakers list for debate and discussion.
kind of action that the resolution is, but instead of introducing another resolution in that, I think it would be best if we discuss that under the ad hoc general review committee that we would use.
Great. VP Davis?
Yeah, I think that change is a great change, and I guess I'll talk about it. In terms of the purpose of community clause to begin with, how does this addition of recommendation fall within your original goal to pack the memorial room?
Yeah, so
so I guess my difficulty is, with a year's experience with the committee clause, really all that we've given is a vote to the Sun reporters that are here. I can't vote on this and think that it's going to be any different next year, like practically speaking. I'm all for giving the Sun reporters that come every week a vote, but I'm also not in favor of doing that, so, yeah.
Thanks. Anybody else on this, want to speak? Representative Smith? Representative Rao?
So where do you draw the line? It's supposed to be something more likely to say, I think you remember to have the power for the budgetary. I think you know what you really want, budgetary decisions on creating an institution of committee, setting up community activities, and that's a power students really want to have, and sort of giving a little bit more of the pie, not a whole thing. What does that really
accomplish? I guess as far as this issue is concerned, this would be where the line is drawn. I think that any type of legislative action specifically to finance the budget would be a definite conflict of interest depending on which organization's budget we would be accepting, whether it's just taxes or whatever. But I think one of the main motivations for this was following Representative Minnick's resolution, in which over 40 members of the creative community were in attendance. And it was listed on the terms of the body that someone could have said, well, this is actually recommendation. I was trying to say it was basically nullified by authority spoken to be able to recall for the participants and stakeholders to actually have decision making power.
Thanks. Just to clarify, if anybody in the audience wants to speak, just raise your hand. Next up is Representative Ratz.
I wasn't really in favor of the community clause when it first came about. But after seeing this inception and seeing how it actually does bring students to the memorial room, whether even in very slight circumstances, I think that it's worth giving this a shot. I think we've given a lot of things a chance, and while some of them do work and some of them don't work, the reason that we do give them a chance is their ability to transform into themselves. Our next year, and I would love to see this memorial room built in any different way possible. And I would definitely be willing to give it a shot at our final parting words for the student assembly this year to bring a new era, hopefully, for the student assembly for next year. I know there's a lot of different initiatives that we're going to be working on to make the student assembly, to make students more aware of student assembly and what we can do for them. But I think this is a great resolution that I think we should all really consider. Because really, what has the community club done but bringing a lot of different students with a lot of different issues when there's been something here before that they want to say? And I think that's our role as representatives. To hear people, not when it's just convenient for us, but when it's convenient for them as well. And if they can make it to this meeting and they have an opinion, they deserve the right to speak it and have their voice heard.
Thanks. Representative Purdy? Thanks. Next up is Representative Glacier.
I'd like to call a question.
There's been a call to question. There's a second. So if the clerk could please call the roll. It's a charter change, so it needs 2/3 of those voting. No, so this is the actual vote. Not here. Did he? Proxies. Yes, he did. He proxied, yes. It was on the agenda for last week. So yes. Good call.
No.
Pass for now. Pass. Proxies, no. So I'll abstain. By a vote of 10-5, this resolution passes. Is that vote count right? The vote count is right?
I think it's 10-4 to 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Alright, moving on to resolution 72. SAFC guidelines report by SAFC co-chairs Dan Gus, Charlie Fang, Mazen Ming, Desai, and Vivian.
excuse me.
Yep.
And just as a reminder, this is new business, so you can only add questions. First on the speakers list is Vicky.
Hey guys. So I have two questions. Number one, so I guess the point is that for publications, by requiring a sample or a written proposal, you're going to cut down on the amount of money that is allocated but not spent out of that 17%. So playing devil's advocate, is increasing the burden of organizations preparing their FSC budget proposal to have them also provide a copy of that publication to have to remember to have that additional step, is that going to make a difference, or is that just going to be something that's going to be an annoyance to groups? I think it's a difficult issue because obviously we want to encourage groups to disseminate their information widely, and increasingly today, paper isn't necessarily the best way to do that. So I think just sort of a general comment for everyone next year, like looking at ways, whether there's an online system or something that really incentivizes students to look at, you know, new media ways to communicate with people on campus versus spending, you know, what would that be, $50,000 a year or more than that on printing stuff. So, you know, that's definitely something good to just keep in mind for long term. Second question. So, in terms of basically the, you know, the addition that you've had, the special project request, that if a group receives no funding in any category other than administrative expenses, so basically this would mean that the SASC would become liable for funding in special projects, any organization that was denied funding for, you know, all their requests. So this brings essentially under the auspices of the SASC's treasure chest, the obligation to pay out to organizations which you deny, or which we then deny funding. So is that kind of the purpose of this amendment?
I think the real purpose of this is to fund organizations from the
Jeff, something to add for you?
Yeah, my question is also about the publication. I'm actually starting a publication next semester. So when I read, you know, a written outline detailing format, I'm not really sure what that means. Like, once the club is able to get some money, then they're able to work with a format and create, like, the first copy or something which could reveal the format. But I don't know what you mean by a written outline detailing the format. So that's my question. It's a personal question.
Right. So we are expecting, what we hope we want is a very, very strong and sort of publication to balance what we want to talk about. We are still on the large topics that we have. No way to try to be really effective. The process is not to be created by organization, but just again, some thought points to that enough. And just for
us. Again, if you or any other group are confused about what you need to do, what is it, written outline, you can keep telling the format. You could attend one of the multiple health sessions and talk to each other one on to see whether the outline you have would be considered acceptable by the SAC.
Upside down.
Yes, I'm actually supportive of really all these. I just had a question. I don't know if that's the statistic. But when this is a pressurized organization, then you allow to request as many additional things.
The process for them was exactly
I'm going to end the discussion for today on this resolution to go to the other resolution that we can continue to debate next week. Thank you. Next up is Resolution 73, Appendix B revisions by DCB.
$1,000 for conferences and all the social media community expenditures.
figured that had to be
for the leadership and sports marketing. We get $7 out of our community fund program before tax. That goes directly to athletic operating budget. The sports marketing group is the organization kind of led. We really want to promote that autonomy in the next couple of years. That's why that happened. I took away class councils. The cause mandated an equal dollar amount to go to each class. I didn't specify that some classes should be included in other clause. There was a clause that we should specify a specific dollar amount. So basically right now, you know, these classes get at 63 cents or something like that, 60 cents to change. For you know, for each class. But the class councils have determined on their own how much each class is needed for their program. Next, there's a lot of sort of junk added to the front of the leadership program in paragraph. There was sort of a lot of jargon. For a few sort of councils that changed the applications because we got rid of health and education programming, so that changed and moved. Next, we added a section of computation. Remember also that class council computation is super from one organization. Now they're split. And so this cost just moved from where it was in class council over here, but nothing language-wise has been changed. We have a proposal we talked about at the committee. Basically, what we want to do here is we want to separate student activity money from Cinnabon's other sources of money. So the thought here just allows us to really focus in on what student activity is purchasing in terms of movies, et cetera, so that when Cinnabon comes to talk about funding in the future for hearing, we can hear them just as we hear HRC or any other organization. So really this folks that we can sort of look at cinema just like any other organization, even though they're administrative expenses, army rates, all the sources of income, this will tease it out and we'll be able to see exactly what we'll spend our money on. Next, I think I clause that index and inventory $7,000 for particulars. They have no idea when in their past history they have spent $7,000 for particulars. I took out the requirement for Steve Snuddy to save 5% of our community endowment fund. We have no long-term plan for an endowment fund right now, so that was removed. We passed gaming expenditures for the Social Forges Authority at $7,000, which is the amount of current assembly contribution for the Forges. Which I think is an operating budget of about $25,000.
Yeah. First of all, excellent job on this. I was just wondering, where does the student assembly, the appendix B guidelines go?
We don't have any student assembly.
Oh, okay.
We can give our card.
All right. Yeah, because I remember in our APSCOM committee discussion, I wanted to separate us from Ivy Council and have them be an independent thing. So I was just wondering, where would that go if we wanted to do that?
We would give the delicious to that, and we would just stop coming up.
Okay. So, Representative Dent, you're gone.
I was wondering, in regards to, I guess, Section 2 on F, when it comes to the position of representation of funding, when it comes to organizations like the SASC, or anything where they're funded by the organization, I was wondering, would we be able to work out some sort of way where we strip that the sub-organization of their funding, because otherwise I can see a situation where one organization under the SAC does something, goes against one of these things, because that just strips them of their funding, and it having to strip the entire SAC of money spent just to remove money from that one organization. So is there a way to do that?
I think it's difficult, because, let's say, for example, even their international students program board, all the organizations, really both organizations, on the board. I think that obviously when you see an issue like the alpha, that issue can come up to the SA. But when it comes to kind of low-level violations and questions about funding this, funding that, there was a recent question about student night and funding the student night and whether or not the activity should be funding smoking.
Did they not request an itemized breakdown of their budget? Then I know they had specified a certain amount for freshman or transfer orientation, things like that. They didn't.
I didn't enforce that legally. We call that in here. They sort of said that my recollection they gave us kind of a range for what wanted to spend.
I see. Okay.
I could go back and look at the request.
Okay, yeah. Two more quick questions. First of all, for cinema, so is it, is there any reason why we can't make that university account controlled by, autonomous student leadership?
No.
Okay. And three, three, think about maybe changing the slope day programming board and the convocation. The part 5 and the part 2, where they announce the speakers, instead of shall seek to announce, think about changing it to announce.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I have that in there, obviously, is because if you initiate this past year, it's really
right.
Leaked on his website.
Right.
You can post it, the slope is under the announcement.
I was going to make a rap joke, but that's
fine.
So I'll go ahead and motion and table this so we can get to 74.
Okay. If you want to present resolution 74, it's all. Yeah, sure.
So,
okay. Yeah, so we'll vote on both of these next week. Meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.